Exodus chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 through 14, so we get all of the context. And the title of the message this morning is, Dad Better Take the Lamb. Exodus chapter 12, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And then go down to verses 29 and 30 and read there with me. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll preach. I'll preach. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we have opportunity to once again break open your word and look at it. Lord, help me to step aside and let you have your will and your way in all of our hearts. As we look at this passage this morning and we preach on Dad Better Take the Lamb, and it's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. Amen. A father transmits his being to his children. A father provides for nourishment and upbringing. A father sees that his children are properly clothed. A father highly esteems his children and pities them when in need. A father will go to any length to protect and defend his child from injuries and abuses. A father is careful to set a good example for his children. A father teaches his children proper manners and public customs. A father is considerate of the weaknesses of his children. A father provides for the future of his children. And you could say so much more. And just as we will often use the term Christian to define someone who has been born again, but is not wholly accurate because there are a lot of people born again who are not very Christian. And so it is with that term father. And I want to address this morning fatherhood, not just being a biological man who has had a child, but a father. There's a definite and distinct difference between the two. There are many men who have fathered children in the biological sense, but are a far cry from that honorable and noble term father, and know very little about how to practice proper fatherhood. If you are a father this morning, and we won't go to the grandfather thing, because if you're a grandfather, you've obviously been a father. So hopefully you were a father in the noblest sense of the term, and hopefully you still have your ministry as father to your grown children. I went to visit mine yesterday up in Greencastle. We all got together at my son Brett's house, and we had a cookout. And the one granddaughter we have so far was busy playing, and we were all watching her, you know, and we were fellowshipping, and they made me steaks and crab cakes. So my birthday was last weekend. Father's Day is this weekend. So this is like Jim's time. My bubble, you know, a time of gym. it's gonna end after today. I'll go home, take a nap, and then preach somewhere tonight, and it'll end today. And tomorrow it's back to the old grind, and I'm nothing. No crab cakes for me, and no steak. But I'm enjoying it now, and I love to see my grown children functioning well. They're not perfect, and they unfortunately bear some of the traits of their father, because there's that undeniable genetic strand that the poor things are saddled with. But I love my kids, and when I was raising them, thankfully, I was Christian. We got saved in 1985, and Corey, my little girl, was 3 at the time, and Brett had not been born yet, and Brett would come along after I got saved. And we raised both of our children in a Christian home. We weren't perfect. And Lord knows I made mistakes, but I did the best I could with what I had. And God just saddled me with 2 really bad kids. They're actually good kids. And I'll sometimes remark that, you know, Corey, my daughter, who's the more sensible of the two, got like 4 spankings the whole time she was growing up. Her whole childhood, she got like 4. That's all she needed. We were able to fix problems without that. Brett got like 4 by 8 a.m. every day. And there was a difference in the two, and he needed extra correction. Now, I'm not saying I abused my kids. I did not. And he didn't literally get that many spankings. That's a joke. But I raised my children with basically those things in mind. Now, I'm not saying I made a list years ago. I wasn't that diligent. But I look back on that, and I was able to teach my kids that because I knew the Lord. If I did not know the Lord, I don't know where our family would be, or if we would even be a family. And Christ has always been the center of our home. Sometimes that wheel's been a little off balance when he wasn't right dead center like he needed to be. But he's always been the center. And we've always revolved around the ministry. We've always revolved the whole time they were growing up around what we did in our church and what we did as Christians. And even if I was not a preacher, and I was called to preach when my kids were in their infancy. And so they've lived in a preacher's home all their lives. But even if I were not called to preach, I would still have raised my kids in a godly home, because early on I saw the difference between the two. And I watched close associates, family members who did not know Christ, and how they raised their kids, and the decisions they made for their kids, and the things they let their kids make their own decisions on way before it was time. And I'm so thankful today that I knew, not of my own accord, that I was extra wise and just knew, but somebody had to tell me and train me and mentor me to teach my kids as a Christian father. Because of that, they grew up right. At this morning, let me challenge the dads and the granddads in here who still have that influence. And maybe you could pass what you hear on, or maybe it's an encouragement to you, even if you're not a dad this morning or a granddad, to do what's right, because you stand as an example in Christianity and in society at large. If people do look to you, they won't tell you that. You won't usually see it, but they watch you and they look to you to make the right decision when no one else is. that I think back on this scene in Exodus chapter 12, and I try to form a mental picture of what it would have been like to live in the household of a Jewish man back in that day when he was given that command by the Holy God, when Moses had told all the dads, you get this word, here's what we want you to do. I want you to take a lamb, and I want him to be less than a year old. If he's a year old or more, he's disqualified. And I want you to keep him in your home for 14 days leading up to this special day. And wherever you keep him before, that's your business, but don't you dare let him get bug bit. Don't let him get a broken leg. Don't let something poke him in the eye. Don't let him get the mange. Don't let him get his ear pulled off by the hound dog. Don't let anything happen to that lamb, because if he has a spot or a blemish, he's disqualified. And you keep him for 14 days in your home under lock and key, under special care, and you groom him. You make sure he's well fed, well taken care of, because on that 15th day, on that high and holy day, here's what you're going to do, Dad. You're going to take that lamb up to the place that we designate, and all the dads are going to take their lamb. And if you only have, like, you know, you're the dad and the mom, you only have one little one in your house, then you can have a couple of your neighbors, and you could share one if you want. But you all kill that lamb together. You take it up, and we have people, representatives, the priests, and they're going to kill that lamb for you. And you're going to take the blood from that little animal, and you're going to put it in a pan, and you're going to take a little brush that you make with those fuzzy weeds that you see growing all over the place by the River Nile, and you're going to make a brush with those, and you're going to dip it in that, and you're going to strike it up here on your doorpost. You're going to dip it again, and you're going to strike it here on your doorpost, and you're going to dip it again, and you're going to strike it here. Does everybody understand that? Yes, we do. We're going to do that. We're going to take our lamb and do all those things that you said we're supposed to do, and what else? And well, you're going to have that lamb butchered, and you're not going to cut him into parts with the whole pertinence thereof. You're going to butcher him, you're going to skin him, and, you know, dress him like you do, and take the stuff that you can't use and burn it. And you're going to take his little piece there all together, not cutting anything up, and you're going to roast him with fire on your spit in your house that night. Your family, if you have a big family, or if you have a small family, two or three of you, but you have to do it under that roof. And before you do it, you have to have that blood on the doorpost, like I showed you from that lamb. And you will eat of that lamb all night long, and you'll be in your homes, and you'll watch, and you'll wait, and you'll partake of that lamb. You have some, they have some. You'll eat it with bitter herbs. And I think the Jews to this day use like horseradish. And they have like a parsley and some bitter stuff. And they dip it in vinegar to still honor that to some degree. And God said, you sit in your house and you eat this. And you wait and you wait and you wait. And in the morning, if there's anything left when the rooster crows, then you burn it with fire, in the fire, like you burn the parts that you couldn't use and aren't fit for people to eat. And then you're finished. And if you will do this thing, I will pass over you. I will pass over us. How do you mean? I'm coming through tonight as the death angel, and I'm going to take the life of every firstborn son in every home who will not honor me by following this procedure tonight. And I'm going to take that life of that firstborn in your home. And according to the scripture, the Jewish people did that as they were told, and the Egyptians did not. And we read verses 29 and 30, and it says there was not an Egyptian home, not one, where there wasn't some death. I don't know if that was a firstborn animal. They didn't have kids, you know, but something was taken from their life. And in the case of a child, a firstborn, the life of the firstborn was taken. Not because God's mean, but because God has a definite way of doing things, and he wants you to follow him. It's for your benefit. And so many homes suffered loss. Why? Was it because of God? You can blame it on God if you choose to. Maybe it was because of a dad who was the leader of the home, but decided it was not important enough to follow something he'd heard from the Bible. You know, I know they didn't have the book in those days, but they had Moses, and Moses was spoken to by God, and you got what you got through Moses, and everybody knew it, and they either respected that or they didn't, just like everybody knows this is the holy word of God, and they either respect that or they don't. It's up to you. And I know so many homes where today, in 2020, the dad says, "Nah, we ain't doing any of that." I grew up in a home where dad said, "No, we ain't doing any of that," and cussed and stomped his feet when the bus would come by to pick up kids for Bible church and vacation Bible school. And they said, we have Sunday school every Sunday. We take your kids. No, that was a bunch of holy rollers and cursed and went about his business and would never let us do anything like that. You know, little kids go down there and have fun with the other kids. We didn't know the Lord. We weren't spiritual. And Father, I need to follow Jesus. I have come to the place in life. No, we just wanted to go down and get some popcorn, you know, and ride the school bus. It was painted funny with all the other kids because it was cool. But it was denied us. I think of the kids that were in those homes. And dad, you know, comes home and takes his Egyptian hat off and, you know, he say, "How was your day, Dad?" And give him big hugs, you know, and he loves his kids and he hugs them and they talk and he's grumpy and they say, "Daddy, what's the matter?" And he says, "Oh, you guys would never understand it." And the wife sits down and she says, "Tell us, honey," because she wants to hear and she's not a kid. And so he talks to her and shares it and the children kind of listen in about this nut named Moses, who'd been lost in the desert for 40 years after he'd been charged with murder and has now come back and is working strange sorcerer miracles, and how he said that his God, which they know to be false, everybody knows the God with the bird's head and the goat's head are the real gods. You know, they do so much for us. And his God says that he's got to kill everybody tonight if they don't put blood on their door. What nonsense. I wonder if those kids didn't sit there and listen, you know, like a kid might. And they don't know much about their world. You know, you could tell a child about anything, and because they're innocent and they have faith in you and utterly trust in you, they'll believe it. I used to think the moon was made of cheese. And when they shot those men up there in 69, I thought they was going to get us some and bring it back. And I was in the grocery store with Mom, and I saw cheese that had mold in it, you know. And I thought that must be some of that moon cheese. I really thought, I didn't know. And I knew that the guy had a face, the man in the moon. He was up there, and he was smiling down at me. And I saw he definitely had a face. And I wonder if they're going to chisel a piece of his nose off or what they were going to get. And that's the extent of, you know, believing what your parents tell you. And if Dad says, "That's a bunch of nonsense," well, then that means it's nonsense. Right? And isn't that the way it should be? Shouldn't a child believe what his dad tells him or her? Shouldn't a child have utter faith in those parents that God put over them to bring them up? And God forbid those parents would tell those children something that is not so, or would be lazy and not distribute to those precious little souls something they need because of their own opinion about it. I remember Dad finally got saved, but it wasn't until like 2 weeks before his death. I remember he had gotten cancer and a subsequent infection from it. And when they actually had gotten rid of the cancer, the infection took him. And I remember him laying in the hospital bed, and me and my brother Frank went and sat on either side of him, and I begged him one last time to trust Christ, because he had had nothing but cussing for the Lord. And I didn't want any of that business. And I remember finally, finally, he submitted himself. And I remember, you know, showing him the plan of salvation all over again in my own feeble way. And I remember him weeping in his bed there. And I asked him, Dad, I said, what's stopping you from trusting Christ? And he said, nothing. And I said, tell him you believe and, you know, ask him to be your Savior. And I remember that old man, all feeble, could barely, you know, lift his hand to brush his teeth. And I had to shave him the last couple times. You know, he was shaved in the hospital, throwing up his hands and saying, I believe, I believe. Yeah. And I think of how he was when I was in my youth. I think of myself being a dad, and I'm a granddad now, but I still care about those kids and those grandkids, you know, and I want to see them raised right. Amen. You know, every now and again, I get after my son for something in a nice way, because, you know, it's his decision. I ain't his Holy Spirit, but it's like, son, you can't do that. you know better than that. Did we do that with you? Well, you know. I got to be the dad, and the dad plays an important role. A father is the central figure in the home, and dad had better take the lamb. Look at verse 5 of Exodus chapter 12, at what it says there. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now, there's more I could say. I'm going to leave it at one verse. Dad had better take the lamb. Dad had better take the right thing. It's one thing to be the head of a religious home. You're going to be a good neighbor. You're going to, you know, be clean and mow your grass and all those other nice things. But if all you have, Dad, is religion, that's not enough. Can you imagine the dad that said, all this lamb we got's good enough? He got a broken leg, and he's got the mange around his ear. He only has one, that's right. Forgot about that accident. And he's blind, but, you know, what does God expect? Nobody's perfect, right? You know, so many times when I was bringing my kids up, I was tempted to skip a service here and there. Well, I don't really need to go. Let's go get some French fries over at the restaurant on Sunday evening, you know, or something like that when our church had service. You know, they're having a missions conference. It goes all the way from Wednesday all the way through Sunday. Doesn't the preacher know we got things to do? You know, and I was tempted to bring the lamb with one ear. You know, I'll be there three nights, but don't expect me the rest of the time. You know, and maybe I could have got away with that, but the kids would have seen it. And guess what they'd be doing now? They'd be skipping all the services. We don't have to go to missions conference. Dad skipped three nights of that one, you know. We can skip the whole thing. Because what you do in moderation, your kids do in excess. That's always how it works. And that dad had to take the lamb that was without spot, without blemish. He had to know when that little thing was born. Oh, we got one here who's 2 years old. You don't mind him, do you? You know, he's 208 pounds. That'd be more meat. You can invite a lot more neighbors. God don't ever know. God always knows, doesn't he? It's like, Dad, you mess up one time. God knows. Your wife may not know, your kids may not know, but God knows. And that's all that matters. Dad had better take the lamb. Dad, you better make sure your kids know. You can't save them, right? You can't make your kid trust Christ. You will trust Christ. That doesn't work. It can't happen. It's an act of the will. They've got to do that on their own by faith. But you have to expose them to it. They've got to know what that means. If you fail in that, it's all on you. I mean, I'm glad my kids are saved. But if they weren't, and if they'd spurned it, oh, it hurt. And I'd pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. But in the end, when I stand before God, I gave them the gospel. And that's all I can humanly do. And then pray that they receive it. But if I refuse to do that, it's all on me. I am the choke point. Amen? Dad, what lamb you got for us? Is God going to pass over us tonight? Yeah, that's the kind of thing he will. I ain't putting blood on the doorpost, though. He knows it's in here. We killed it. Well, he said, put it up there. Well, it's just a token. Why do I do a token? Why can't I just have church at home? Why can't I listen to, can't think of the preacher's name. Who's a Scottish guy that preaches? He's got Truth for Life. Yes, Alistair Begg. I used to giggle. We're going to go hear Alistair Begg. We never went to hear him, but I would listen to him on the radio, you know, and I always like that accent that he has, you know. We're tottering to the First Timothy tonight. Amen, brother. A guy can preach heresy and still be good. I'm kidding. Anyway, you know what? How did I get on that? I have no idea. Yeah, I just stay home and listen to him. He's a good preacher. Never heard him say anything I didn't agree with. He's not like my preacher. I need to listen to my preacher. I just stay home and listen to Alistair Begg. What'd you do tonight? Listen to Alistair Begg. Oh, you did, huh? That's pretty good, too. That lamb's 3.5 years old. Nobody's going to know. He was a runt. He's big as a lamb that's just a year old. Nobody's going to know. God will know. Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. That was important. God wanted you and I to see the token of the blood so that we would understand for all time's sake that it is the blood that saves. It's not your works. It's the blood. If you followed everything perfectly. You got a lamb that was 10 months and 12 days old. He's in the window. You got it good. And the high priest himself inspected your lamb, your very lamb for your family, and he gave you the thumbs up. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that little critter. He's SPCA certified and ADA and WWD and all that. And the Lamb Foundation of Israel certifies him golden material. And you shampoo that little critter. And you feed him Pop-Tarts. And you take such good care of that little guy. He's fed better than your own kids. But you don't apply the blood. You still lose, don't you? If I know all there is to know about Jesus, and I could recite all the books of the Bible, and I go to church every Sunday, but I don't teach my kids about Christ. If I don't have Christ myself, it all comes to nothing one day. You say, wouldn't God appreciate that? Yeah, he would. We would too, because you'd be a better neighbor if you knew all that stuff. You wouldn't be out burning people's cars and things like that. You'd never do such things. We would love you. You'd be great for our neighborhood, but you're not going to be saved if you don't have the blood applied. Dad, you better take the lamb. You better apply the blood. Amen? Amen. Verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. That was the prescribed method. That was how you did it. Now, I think, you know, you need to follow all that. If you were an Israelite in those days, if you mess one thing up, you said, man, these herbs ain't really bitter. You know, he didn't say, he said, just eat. You know, we tried to find parsley because of the COVID. They were all out of parsley at the Egyptian Food Lion. And so we don't have any parsley. Can we use cilantro? You ever notice how cilantro smells like stink bugs? I've probably just ruined the culinary delight for you by saying that, but it is interesting. They smell identical. Anyway, so if you run out of cilantro, you could throw some stink bugs on your taco and you'd be good. That wouldn't work, would it? I think God wanted them to do everything the right way. And he says, everybody sit in the house and you eat that lamb with the bitter herbs. Do it that way. Now, even though, dads, we got the blood applied, we have our home in heaven promised to us, we're not going to lose that somehow, because if you could lose it, how could you have it anyway? And you have that going for you. Hey, maybe your kids, like mine, are saved. Praise God. Corey got saved when she's a little thing. Brett, he got saved when he's 6, I think. And Corey was 4, I think she got saved. Brett was 6. And we did like you might. I hope they really got saved. They were kind of young. You know, we'd check them from time to time, make sure. And they're saved. But we still did things the right way in our home. You know, I wonder how many dads in Egypt that night said, well, we've got the blood above the doorpost. Let's cook this thing in water. Now, I don't know that they would have had a firstborn die. I would think the blood maybe would trump what they did with the lamb, but I don't know that. And I don't toy with God. I mean, I know I'm saved and I'm not going to lose it. I know my kids are saved and I'm not going to lose it, as much as I can know that. But I'm still going to be in the book. I'm still going to live a Christian life. I'm still going to walk as a believer. I'm still going to be charitable. I'm still going to give my tithes and offerings. I'm still going to be in church. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to fast when I need to. I'm still going to do the things that a Christian ought to do. And I'm not going to write it off as unimportant because I got my ticket to heaven. Blood's applied. Let's do what we want in here. God can't bless that. Dad, you better take the lamb. Dad, you better have the blood applied. Dad, you better see your family partakes. That is your responsibility, yours to do. I still remember my dad as our authority figure. You know, as fatherhood goes, not the best dad in the world, made a lot of mistakes. And then some things he did not do well at. Now, I'm not going to badmouth him. He's gone now. He did get saved, and he was my dad, you know, and I always tried to honor my dad, and I always will. But he was my authority figure, and I remember the importance of having that in life. Mom was the grace, Dad was the law. I remember times when we'd be home, you know, and it was like 8 a.m., and we were cutting up, and Mom would say, when your father gets home, And I think she was afraid to spank us. And she should have anyway, but she didn't. She left it up to Dad. And she'd say, when your father gets home, you know, and it didn't scare us bad at 8 a.m. Oh, yeah, Dad, he's going to get us. She'll forget. So 10 a.m. rolled around. We still messed up and did something bad. And Mom said, when your father gets home, you know, and we were a little more scared then maybe, and we thought, well, yeah, that's a long time. Sometimes Dad didn't get home till like 5:30. And depends on where he's working too. Because he was a carpenter, and they would go from job site to job site wherever they're building houses. Sometimes it's way, way down in Baltimore or something. And so Dad, he's going to be a while, you know. 1, 2 p.m., it's getting a little closer. We'd mess up. Mom said, where do your father gets home? You know, and that rang a little deeper then, because we weren't too far away, and we get a little quiet, and we think about that. And as kids, you know, we'd forget again and mess up as 4 p.m. you know, and Dad's probably left the job site, and he's probably in a car on his way home, and we'd be a little more scared. I'm sorry, Mom, we'll do it again. Oh, please don't tell Dad. Well, she's gonna. She ain't gonna keep secrets. She's Mom, you know. She's married to the guy. And she's a good mom. And I remember when we'd hear the gravel on that driveway as the tires of that 1969 Ford Fairlane turned into the driveway. And we knew the jig was up, man. We're in trouble. You know, and I know the Lord said, you don't know when I'm going to come back. And he said, you don't know when I'm going to pass by tonight. I'm going to pass by tonight. He didn't say it was 11, right at midnight, 1:38 p.m. or a.m. You just said tonight and pass through. And if you don't have the blood applied, and it's still that way. We do not know when the rapture is going to happen. We don't know when that trumpet is going to sound. But man, lately I'm hearing gravel on the driveway, you know, and I'm thinking about things. I don't know about you. And dad, you better have the blood applied. Do you know the Lord is your Savior today? Have you taught your kids, the people that are in your circle of influence, do they know the Lord? They know about the Lord? People that you work with? They're not your family, but maybe you're responsible for them. Maybe the Lord looks at you as the one who's going to tell them because nobody else is around. Do the people around you know? Huh? And do you have the blood applied? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time in the book that we've had. Thank you for this story. And Lord, we piece this together and we think about these people and what they did that night out of obedience to you and how, Lord, you honored them. And Lord, we look at the ones who did not take that seriously. Father, thank you for saving my soul. Forgive me for not always being what I'm supposed to be as a Christian. Lord, thank you for having mercy, loving kindness towards me and towards my family, Lord. Thank you that we knew. Thank you that, Lord, you put me in the place as a dad and you did not leave me with nothing to work with, Lord. You gave me everything I needed to know. You told me everything that I needed to pass on, Lord. You've been so good. Lord, be with all of us who are dads and granddads. And Father, help us to be that point of influence, Lord, where you've put us in our places. Help us to spread the word. Help us to tell people. Lord, we look forward to that day when you come and take your church out. But Lord, also, we think about those who will not be in that throng, Lord, when we are gathered up to heaven. Lord, may we take more with us. Put more people in our paths that can hear the gospel. And Lord, give us boldness to be witnesses. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. Amen. I don't know. How do y'all do your invitation?
We just sing.
Just sing. Y'all stand up and sing. And just sing out of the hymn book. Okay.